And you may be a dinosaur, but you're an unusually self-aware dinosaur, and that's what counts. Thank you very much for that presentation. Our next speaker is Glenn McRae. Now, he brings us a perspective from the world of superannuation. He's the Chief Policy Officer at the Association of Superannuation Funds of Australia. He has overall responsibility for ensuring that ASFA's advocacy is prioritised appropriately and supported by evidence-based policy, as well as driving ASFA's work around industry best practice. Could you please welcome Glenn?
Is a very unruly horse, and once you get astride it, you never know where it will carry you. It's a quote from an early court ruling in 1824, but I think this applies equally to the animal that is public policy today. But as I am in Melbourne, I think it's more appropriate to think of public policy in terms of the game that is public policy. In preparing my speech today and reflecting upon my time working for ASFA and for governments of various colours, I reflected upon how players in the policy game can best influence. This applies whether you're working in government, academia, a think tank, bureaucracy, or a corporation. I'll talk to you today about four key principles that I think should guide anyone trying to influence policy. One, evidence beats spin. Well, most of the time. Two, you need to be able to tell a story. Three, you need to be able to work on collaboration and trust. And four, public policy is a long-term game. Of course, you can do all the necessary preparation in advance of the game and all the right things, but if the ball doesn't roll your way or the umpire makes a dodgy call, there isn't much more you can do. So perhaps these principles aren't a recipe for success, but a list to ensure that you're at least in the game at half time. In thinking about today's discussion, I asked myself the philosophical question, what is public policy? When I say asked, like all good policy analysts, I actually did a Google search and came up with the following definition. In public policy making, numerous individuals and interest groups compete and collaborate to influence policymakers to act in a particular way. The large set of actors in the public policy process use a variety of tactics and tools to advance their aims, including advocating their positions publicly, attempting to educate supporters and opponents, and mobilising allies on a particular issue. In the context of today's session, it is worth acknowledging that this description is an accurate reflection of what it's like to be a player in the hustle and bustle of policy development. It's an often bruising game, there's often more than one casualty along the way, and it can be survival of the fittest. Policy development is like playing AFL, netball and rugby all at once. Evidence beats spin, at least most of the time. In ASFA, our approach to public policy making is focused on evidence-based policy, driving industry best practice, and looking at policy development in terms of the system and the member. In other words, we try to get the facts on the table. We think there's some things that industry can do better than government, and we don't come to the game in terms of what is best for business, but what is best for the system. So how does this translate to our involvement in the public policy process? Well, we've got a number of pieces of research that we do and we release publicly. Some of that looks at how much people need in retirement by establishing a benchmark to identify what a minimum level looks like in terms of dollars. This benchmark helps policymakers and the public think about how either they should contribute to the system or the system needs to deliver for them in retirement. We produce a regular fact sheet that includes key information on the system, and we run a site called SuperGuru that estimates how much money you will need in retirement and how much money the retirement system should provide. These benchmarks, fact sheets and websites are not designed to advocate for particular positions, but rather make sure everyone is on the same page with the facts. Often this information is used by media and other groups in discussion about superannuation. It's a lot easier in the public policy game when you're on the same page. I'm conscious today I'm in a room full of actuaries, and the term popularised by Mark Twain springs to mind, lies, damned lies and statistics. ASTA tries to bring a little bit of balance to the force and provide an alternative perspective on numbers that have popular appeal. I know today's not about flogging products, but I can't help but plug a free paper that's on our website that sets straight some of the misconceptions about tax concessions that have become almost folklore. This type of work is important to ensure debate is balanced. Of course, you need to get the facts on the table, but ultimately people like a good story. And the story needs to be told again and again. Repetition can be painful, but important, as any parent will tell you. Of course, what the yarn looks like depends on who you're trying to influence. For bureaucrats, a good story comes in the form of written and oral advice to the minister. For a political advisor, it's telling the story clearly and concisely in the spare 30 seconds you have between meetings. For those who do not have a direct line of sight with government, the reality is some of the best mechanisms are through the media, public speeches or submissions. Of course, the media comes with its own risks. Many people have strayed too close to the fire, and the story that you thought you were told or telling, say for example a romance, can end up being a thriller or at worst a comedy. Certainly there are some key elements of a good story, and these include keeping the story simple and backing it up with evidence. From an ASFA perspective, we are trying to tell a story in relation to taxation, and we're doing that publicly in speeches and our submission to the tax discussion paper. The story is the super system is working well. We don't think any significant changes are needed. However, in the future, the system, to ensure the system is equitable, sustainable and simple, some minor changes are required. When telling a good story and having supporting evidence are important fundamentals for success, at the end of the day, you have to influence decision makers, whoever they are, and relationships can matter. The reality is that your position is more likely to be adopted if you've developed strong professional relationships with decision makers. Firstly, this means you've developed a relationship of trust and ability to collaborate. In thinking of collaboration and trust, a personal example springs to mind when I worked as an advisor for a minister on a sensitive piece of legislation. The government and the key interest group had a difference of opinion on the particular piece of legislation. Both parties worked hard to explain their positions and identify the causes of those fundamental differences. While the government, after much negotiation with other parliamentarians, achieved its key objectives with the passage of the relevant legislation, the trust built between the key industry group resulted in a package of reforms that also minimised the compliance costs for the industry. Collaboration was the key. This was not a win-win, but perhaps it was a well-argued draw. Of course, trust can be quickly undermined if you agree to work collaboratively, but are out in the media saying something else. Also, always note with a bit of caution to all players, winning the battle doesn't always translate to winning the war. Governments come and go, as well as ministers and other decision makers. The actuarial life expectancy for decision makers is short, so more than one backup plan may be required to get the policy outcome you desire. Let me finish by saying that public policy is a long-term game. From initial consideration to resolution of a policy can take years, if not decades. I remember being fresh-faced and working on the introduction of the GST in the Treasury, and being told by the wise heads that reform takes time and patience is required. The GST was a classic example of policy being a long-term game. From the Asprey Review in the mid-1970s to Option C in the mid-1980s, John Hewson and that cake in 1993, the road to tax reform was a long one. Of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. Reform can happen quickly when there is consensus, momentum and a window of opportunity. The success of reforms in the 1980s, such as the Campbell Committee, reflected consensus amongst key players, momentum for change and a window of opportunity opening up. However, consensus can be hard to achieve in the current political environment, and nearly 25 years of economic growth make momentum difficult, as the case for change can be perceived as being unclear. In this context, governments can try to get reform through the mythical window of opportunity, but they often find it boarded up. As players in the game of public policy, we all have a responsibility to ensure reform occurs. And through following the four key principles I've identified today, we can get there, or maybe depending on the bounce of ball and the umpire, of course. Thank you very much.